Dr. Larry Kaskel. You should listen to him if you know what's good for you. Of course, you should listen to him even if you don't know what's good for you. Here's the healthy skeptic, Dr. Larry Kaskel, MD.
Hi, I'm Dr. Larry Kaskel, and you are listening to The Healthy Skeptic on Radio MD. Right speech is a Buddhist practice that encourages one to speak truthfully and honestly, and to speak in a manner that is useful and promotes harmony. Similarly, there's a movement in medicine to promote right care. Founded by the Loan Institute, the Right Care Alliance is working together to improve healthcare system by reducing the overuse and/or the misuse of medical tests and treatments. My guest today is Shannon Brownlee, Senior Vice President of the Loan Institute and the author of the greatest book ever written, Overtreated, Why Too Much Medicine is Making Us Sicker and Poorer. Shannon, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Larry. I didn't even have to pay you to say it's the greatest book.
It really is the great. You did not have to pay me a thing.
Thanks.
So, Right Care Alliance. This is the first time I've heard of it. Can you tell me what it is?
Yes. So the Right Care Alliance grew out of a meeting that I co-convened with Dr. Vikas Sani, who's the president of my organization. And we decided to gather a group of mostly physicians, a few policy people, some nurses, in 2012 to see if anybody else was worried about the problem of overuse. And lo and behold, we thought we might see 30 people. We got 160 people, and it was 2 days of people being absolutely welded to their seats. It was very clear there was a deep sense of yearning among the clinicians who were there to do something about this issue. And in fact, to start to grapple with the twin problems of overuse and underuse in healthcare, and the deep cultural piece of it that drives a lot of this.
I'm just curious, what are the goals? What are the goals of the Alliance?
So the goals of the Alliance is to start gathering a cadre of clinicians, of healthcare professionals, who recognize these sort of twin problems and who are interested in collective action. Since I wrote Overtreated 7 years ago, there was virtually no attention to the problem when I first started working on it. And now we have much greater attention to it. We have initiatives like the Choosing Wisely initiative, which is the ABIM, the American Board of Internal Medicine Foundation, set of lists of things that physicians shouldn't deliver. But this problem of overuse, and in fact underuse as well, it's endemic, it's pervasive, it's across medical specialties, it is across payment systems, it's in the United States, it's also a problem in Western Europe, and it is not merely a technical problem. If we would just put out the right evidence, doctors would behave differently. It's very deep-seated in the practice of medicine. So we think that that it's going to take a lot of people talking about this, doing things, coming up with their own projects around the country, and doing it over and over and over again, and having sustained energy to do things over and over again, that's going to bring about change. We also think that it's going to take a collection of clinicians talking to community leaders, talking to religious leaders about the problem, to get patients to understand what needs to change in the healthcare system. So
who is funding the
Right Care Alliance.
Where's the money coming from to fund that?
Right now we have a small endowment. We were founded by the great cardiologist Bernard Laun, who is still alive and was a Nobel Peace Prize winner for founding International Physicians to Prevent Nuclear War. So we have a small endowment. We have grants from various funders. If anybody out there wants to donate to this project, we're open for business.
Can any physician join, or might they be penalized by their employer?
Any physician can join. We haven't heard any bad feedback from physicians who have joined. It is possible that as we become more well-known and we start saying things that are a little bit blunt, that there may be some blowback. But, you know, major change doesn't happen without
overnight,
without trouble.
Conflict.
Yes,
are there any
conflict.
Are there any major health systems that have joined?
No, we have not sought systems themselves. We have mostly been focusing on nurses and doctors and other healthcare professionals.
And how hard is it to kind of express this message to the patient who's in front of me saying, I want a PSA?
I think it's hard when you don't have time. I think it's easy when you don't feel time pressure. I think it's easy when you have a real relationship with your patient. Now, I'm not a physician, so I may be just talking through my hat, but I hear from physicians all over the country, and I've heard from hundreds of physicians, that they want that kind of time with their patients. They want to be able to talk through issues with their patients, like PSA tests, like whether or not their child really needs that CT scan. And if they have that time, they will be able to convey the information to their patients. Now, sometimes patients are going to still say, I still want the Vioxx, I still want the CT scan, I still want the PSA test.
Do you think with the Affordable Care Act that changes the equation at all?
It changes it a little. We are going to have to worry a little bit less about lack of access to care because more people are going to be insured, but it doesn't really change the fundamental nature of healthcare in America.
Ideally, I want to do this with my patients, but I have 12 minutes, and it's very hard to explain all the subtleties of this problem within a 12-minute session.
So
can you talk to my bosses?
Oh, and I know what you're up against. You are judged, you are paid on the basis of productivity, and your keepers think of productivity as how many patients can you see in a day. We have to change the way we pay physicians. We have to change the way we pay hospitals, and there is growing awareness of that. The question is, how do we make the transition? There is some resistance among some physicians, but I know that, so for example, primary care physicians would probably welcome a real change in the way they're paid. Patients also have to understand that this is one of the things that their doctors are up against. A lot of patients would like more time with their doctors. They feel like they're given the bum's rush by their doctors. They want what you want. They want better information. They want time with you. They want to really understand what's going on. They don't want to wait in the hospital for 8 hours for the surgeon to come by and finally tell the family what's going on. They want often what the physician wants. So somehow we have to find ways for you, the clinician, and the patient and the community to start being to start singing the same song, to be able to be in league for the kinds of changes that need to happen. Now, all of this sounds very vague, and
yes.
It's going to be vague for a while because this is not just a matter of we know what to do and all we have to do is do it. This is also a matter of we don't quite know what to do, and we're going to have to sort through how to make the kinds of changes in the healthcare system that are necessary.
Do you think the VA system is even close to that model? Because I'm pretty sure the VA system, prior to the most recent news about it, was being run pretty well.
It was being run pretty well. It went from being the absolute most dangerous, worst system in the United States in the 1970s to being one of the best in the 1990s.
Shannon, tell our listeners how they can learn more about this alliance.
You bet. It's the LownInstitute.org, LownInstitute.org, and you can just click on the Right Care Alliance and learn more about the organization, and I hope more people will join.
Great. I'm Dr. Larry Kaskel, the Healthy Skeptic. Remember, never let anyone else do your thinking for you.